Welcome to the Open House podcast site, available at openhouseonline.com.au.
Well, did you know that checkout counters may well become completely obsolete? That customer service could well be taken over by avatars? The fact that we might even see robocops patrolling shopping malls? All of those may well be the case because Richard Watson, futurist from nowandnext.com, suggests they could well be over the horizon. He's with us again. Richard Watson, welcome.
Thank you.
Retail and leisure is our topic this evening in terms of looking at the future, gazing into the crystal ball, etc., etc. Give you some trends. You can unpack them. We'll talk about some of those predictions in a second. You suggest there's a trend going on right now about conspicuous non-consumption. You need to unpack that for us and tell us where it might go in the future.
Well, it's not exactly a counter trend to conspicuous consumption, but it's obviously related. This is making a lot of fuss and noise about the fact you're not buying things, and it's very sort of externally directed, so it's a bit sort of show-offy, if you like. Now, this may be a very short-term thing. This could be quite faddish. It could be simply a result of the recent GFC, but I think actually it's probably got a bit more longevity than that, because it actually does link into something which is quite serious, which is all around sustainability and the environment and climate change. And trends, people talk about trends such as enoughism, and it's all about, you know, doing with less, living with less, deciding what you don't need. Mm-hmm. And that's, I'm all in favor of. But the conspicuous non-consumption is the very sort of extrovert version of that, where you don't just do it quietly for yourself, you're doing it as a sort of fashion statement and projecting it to the outside world. And I think the people that are doing this, are doing it mostly as a fashion statement, and they will probably get bored of this and move on to some other fashion quite shortly.
Fashion has, ousted conviction in that regard.
Yep.
Yeah. All right. Authenticity. What's the trend in authenticity right now?
I think authenticity is huge in all areas, more or less, and retail is no exception. This is kind of realness, would be another way of putting this. I think people are quite cynical around things. They're quite interested in the backstory of products and people and organizations. They're looking for sort of narrative. Life story labeling is another thing that sort of fits into this, where you tell people absolutely everything you can about how something is made, by whom, when, where, how, and all of that kind of stuff. And I think, you know, authenticity is linked into things like sort of craft and nostalgia and et cetera, et cetera. But it's really about having things that are real rather than fake and insincere.
I was actually looking at some sort of oats or something that I was eating for breakfast the other day, and it was just a little box, and it had the complete little story of how this girl started off making this stuff in her kitchen, then it grew and so many people liked it. It highlights what you're talking about there, where the story is told to appear maybe homey.
Yeah, the problem is everyone's doing it, and I think some of these in these cases they're actually sort of made up by marketing departments, and there's not an awful lot of truth in it, which can potentially create quite a bit of backlash. So I think you have to be a little bit wary of some of these claims sometimes.
Inauthentic authenticity.
Well, it looks like you can fake authenticity, which is a strange thing to say, but I think it's true.
Yes, ironic as well. Now, a few years ago, sociologist Ray Oldenburg came out with this idea of the third place, the good third place, I think he called the name of the book, that place that you congregate. Where do you see that might go?
I mean, the best way of describing this is to simply refer to somewhere like Gloria Jean's coffee shop or a Starbucks or something. This is an intermediate place that's not work and not home, and it's where people go. And people are going there increasingly because home is smaller and maybe quite stress-making, and, you know, maybe they don't have work. Maybe they're a freelancer and don't actually have an office to go to, which explains why if you go to a Gloria Jean's in some areas these days, it's actually quite difficult to sit down and have a cup of coffee because there's meetings going on, there's spreadsheets everywhere, computers, cables, phones being charged up and all the rest of it. I think they are going to increase. I think we'll hear more about them. You could argue that places like libraries, actually, public libraries, I think are excellent third places. They're these sort of lovely sort of neutral, safe spaces that are sort of relatively quiet. They're a sort of a refuge from the noisy, digitalized commercial world that we have these days. So I think there'll be quite a demand for these spaces.
Okay, and you're saying that we're going to head more and more to these third places simply because either home is stressful or too small and work is just too noisy and loud and busy.
Well, either work is too noisy and busy, but I think for an awful lot of people that don't work for an organisation, they're freelancers or they work part-time or something. They haven't got an office to go to, but they can't work at home because there's all sorts of other things. You know, they've got kids and all the rest of it. Yes. Or possibly if you're 20 and single and you've got a flatmate and, you know, you can't concentrate in your flat either. So these are sort of quite good places to go. At least they were until they were invaded by thousands of people with laptops and computers. So maybe we'll get fourth places next.
Yeah, that might be the case. 1-300 2020. I'd be interested to know if you're kind of one of those trendsetters in that regard, in the sense that you actually do most of your work from, say, a cafe, or indeed, as Richard was saying, a library. Only a few weeks ago, I actually took my laptop into the library, had a wonderful time. Okay, some predictions now. These customer service avatars.
Well, these do actually exist. There is a Sydney-based company that has developed some avatars, and the idea here is that you don't really want to waste expensive real people. If you've got somebody complaining about something on the phone, you can actually use an avatar to actually explain certain things, like how you can actually plug a computer in or basic problems with some product, and that frees up the people to deal with the sort of higher value stuff or the stuff where human empathy is a factor. So yeah, they do actually exist, and you go online and you will see somebody talking to you about how to fix some problem.
Mm-hmm. Do you think that might be expanded over into more kind of traditional retail spaces, not just simply, you know, when you're sitting in front of your computer online at home or at work, you know, in a retail environment?
I think so. I mean, I think at the moment it has a sort of faddish element, and it undoubtedly would appeal to a certain type of person, which is probably someone in their 20s that's a little bit geekish. It'll probably expand out of that, but I think there could be quite a reaction. I mean, we're already seeing a phenomenal reaction against foreign call centres, phones where you dial up a company, you can't actually get to speak to a real person. Mm. Supermarket checkouts, which you mentioned earlier, where there are no people, which I think drives a few people around the bend. So I think there could be quite a backlash against this, although from the corporate's point of view, it makes an enormous amount of sense because they're saving money, but I'm not sure it's enhancing customer service in any way for customers.
I wanted to ask you about that because we have seen these checkouts in some of the larger grocery retailers where, yeah, you can just walk on through, swipe your credit card, and you can basically buy and pack your own groceries. Do you know how well that's actually been going for the retailers?
I haven't seen any specific figures, but I mean, I was in a supermarket last weekend and they had a couple of lines like that. So they're obviously working for some people, but again, they make me want to just go and shop somewhere else personally.
Yeah. You'd rather actually deal with a real person.
I like dealing with people. I'm a bit old fashioned for a futurist like that.
Yes. Maybe futurology will become done by an avatar in the future. You just never know, do you?
Well, I think it could be. I have a feeling, actually, there is a fashion element to this, and I think we could be out of a job at some point in the future.
Maybe you'll become a RoboCop in a shopping mall. That's another of your predictions. They're actually going to come about.
That, again, a lot of these predictions, what I've done is find things that already exist, but they're just not everywhere. So there is a shopping mall in Japan, I think it's called Aqua City, and they have robotic security guards. And they trundle around, and there is sort of voice recognition, face recognition. They've got cameras and can report back to base. And you can also quiz them. You can ask them questions, and they can give you directions. Although if some sort of something very serious happens, they're going to call some real security guards to come and deal with it.
Oh, dear. They might have lost their place in the kind of global leadership stakes when it comes to finances and things. But, boy, the Japanese still can lead when it comes to the robots, can't they?
Don't write Japan off yet. I mean, A, they're a vast economy. Secondly, they're very ingenious. And they're at the cutting edge of robotics because primarily of an aging population. And also, they're just fascinated by this kind of stuff.
Yeah. They keep us fascinated, and so do you. Thanks for your time, Richard.
Thank you very much indeed.
Always good to talk to you. Richard Watson from nowandnext.com, author of The Future Files.
We hope you enjoyed this Open House podcast. Thanks to Christian Super and Real World Technology. To hear more from Open House, visit openhouseonline.com.au.